ladies and gentlemen. We will come to order now and go for the record. My name is Edward Finley. I want to be this evening a commissioner to Nolan D. Brown Bland, Jerry C. Dockham, James G. Patterson, Lyons Gray, and Charlotte Mitchell. The commission now calls for a hearing at this time for the purpose of taking non-expert public witness testimony, docket number W354-360, in the matter of application of Carolina Water Service of North Carolina for authority to increase rates for water and sewer utility service in subdivisions in North Carolina, except the Corolla Light and Monterey Shores service areas. On April 27, 2018, Carolina Water filed an application with the commission seeking authority to increase its rates for water and sewer utility service in all of its service areas in North Carolina, effective May 27, 2018. Carolina Water is proposing an increase in water and sewer rates for its four rate divisions approved in the last general rate case, and is also proposing uniform water and sewer rates for Elk River development. In addition, Carolina Water Service is requesting authority to implement a consumption ban, water and wastewater rate adjustment mechanism within each of the company's rate divisions. On May 16, 2018, the company served filed an amendment to its application, and on May 22, 2018, the commission issued its order establishing general rate case suspending rates, scheduling hearings, and requiring customer notice. Pursuant to this order, the commission declared this proceeding to be a general rate case pursuant to GS 62-137 that suspended the proposed new rate for up to 270 days. Additionally, the order scheduled the application for evidentiary hearing on October 16, 2018, and scheduled a public witness testimony hearing for this date, at this time, and in this place. On May 30, 2018, the company filed an ongoing three-year WSIC plan. Numerous customer statements and positions have been filed in the document. Pursuant to the State Ethics Act, I remind members of the commission that due to board conflicts of interest and inquire whether any member of the commission has a known conflict of interest regarding the matters coming before the commission has been. No, let the record show that no conflicts have been identified. We also recognize the intervention in this participation in this case by the public staff of the North Carolina Utilities Commission. And let me ask whether there are any preliminary matters that have to be addressed before we begin.
No.
No, sir. Deputy Mayberry has a statement he's going to make preliminarily here.
Ladies and gentlemen, I remind you that this is a court proceeding held in this courtroom. Therefore, order and decorum are required. Testimony will be taken from witnesses. Others in the courtroom must remain silent and may not interfere with the proceedings. The chairman will instruct you as to the rules and regulations to be followed. Pay attention to his instructions and adhere to them. One last reminder, please make sure your cell phones are silenced. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go over a few rules and regulations here. This looks like an orderly crowd, and I anticipate that that's what we will face here, but we have been in hearings, particularly with the electric companies, where the audience gets quite rudely, and we're going to have to go through some regulations and rules so that we can avoid anything like that. And so you will know what to do when you're called testimony, when even you're sitting out in the audience. So, but we appreciate your coming here tonight for this important matter, and we welcome your testimony, and we're glad that you are here. There are a few ground rules that we will follow. In conducting this hearing, the commission functions as a court. We do this pursuant to statute. We have to follow these rules and regulations. And we're in a courtroom for that very reason. We must take sworn testimony pursuant to statutes that have been passed by the General Assembly over many years. We operate pursuant to the rules of procedure and the rules of evidence, and we want to conduct the hearing in a very orderly manner. So we request your voluntary participation and that you will abide by these rules. And if you don't, we have some sanctions that we can impose. We've done that in other cases. Don't anticipate we'll have to do that tonight. But in order to facilitate a fair and full opportunity for all speakers to participate, here are some of the rules. Witnesses must register with the public staff. I assume many of you have done that already. And verify that you are a non-party witness, that you are not a professional witness in this proceeding tonight. You will be called in the order in which you have signed up on that roster. In order to allow each person an equal amount of time to testify, there will be a limit on the testimony of each particular person. We're going to begin by limiting the testimony to 5 minutes, and we have a sign right here that will run down as your time runs out. So pay attention to this sign right here. So keep your testimony to that limit, and that way everybody can be heard until we're finished. Please avoid, see if you can avoid cumulative, repetitive, and irrelevant testimony. If somebody has already said what you intended to say, you can say, I agree with that person, or you can elaborate to the extent you want to. Witnesses will have to be sworn in, and you can either swear in or affirm that your testimony will be true and accurate. Witnesses should refrain from offering opinions on the matter not specified in the notice of the hearing, and you should address your testimony to the commissioners. The commissioners were the people that have to make the decision here, so that's who you need to talk to. Focus on the issues presented in the docket. Refrain from making personal criticisms of the parties or other hearing participants. In lieu of the oral testimony, if you brought something written that you want to submit into the evidence of the case, you can do that and just have it summarized or just rely on that altogether if you wish. Sometimes the witnesses will be cross-examined by the parties of the case or by some of the commissioners. And so once you've made your testimony, stick around a few minutes. Let's see if somebody has some questions that might want to make clear what you're intended to say. All right, I think for the moment, that's what we'll do as far as rules and regulations are concerned. Thank you. Yes. Calling first witness.
Thank you. Mr. Ted Warnock.
Tina, could you say your last name into the microphone, please?
Mr. Ted Warnock.
Warnock, you put your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand, please. You saw me swear the testament about to give this case with the truth, the whole truth, and that's about the truth, so you know.
I do.
Thank you. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure. I'm Ted Warnock. It's W-A-R-N-O-C-K.
And what is your address?
5002 Plymouth Port, New Bern.
And in what subdivision do you live?
Fairfield Harbor.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Pleasure to be here this evening. My primary purpose for this testimony is to present to you a set of petitions that have been signed by residents of Fairfield Harbor. Obviously, there have been many conversations on this matter among the various residents, and generally, I want to summarize some of the thoughts from my own perspective. Number one, I'm very frustrated that there's been no consumer information provided about why this rate increase is being asked for. We've read and reread what we received, and it simply says, here's the deal. The percentages are way beyond inflation and even local wage growth percentages that we see in our area. So they seem extreme. These increases are close on the heels of rate increases that have been approved in the last 2 years. Besides that, the water quality is, quote, okay, but every homeowner, quote, unquote, has to install water softeners and drinking water purification to make the water truly enjoyable. I'm a retired military officer, and I've lived many different places. And I can tell you, last residence was Fairfax County, Virginia. We paid the amount for water in a quarter there that we pay for a month here. And I have to scratch my head. We didn't need any water purification or softening in that location. Finally, what I want to do is just read to you the statement that's on this petition that everyone has signed. And I want to also mention there are 283 verified signatures here. We tried to limit, in fact, we did limit people to one signature per address. So we're not double counting. But here's the statement. We, the undersigned, are concerned residents of Fairfield Harbor who urge the North Carolina Utilities Commission and the Attorney General to oppose and disallow the rate increases proposed by CWSNC for Fairfield Harbor. Proposed increases in the average monthly residential bill of over 51% in water utility service rate and over 22% in sewer utility service rate in Fairfield Harbor are not justified nor reasonable in comparison to rates paid by residents in neighboring areas. The increases proposed by CWSNC are outrageous in light of increased efficiencies promised by CWSNC as a result of their corporate reorganization in August 2016 and utility rate increases very recently granted CWSNC by the Commission. A water increase of 21.38%, sewer increase of 9.26% in November of 2017. And that concludes my statement.
Thank you.
Other questions, Mr. Warnock?
No questions.
Thank you. Mr. Warnock, would you like to enter those petitions into the evidence? Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have that marked as Warnock Exhibit 1.
Thank you.
Public staff calls Ms. Beth Warnock, Mr. Simon Locke. Your name for the record?
Yes, my name is Dr. Simon Locke.
And in what subdivision do you live?
I live in Fairfield Harbor.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you.
So I echo a lot of what Mr. Warnock said. However, there are some other things that need to be considered here. We know that CWS is a privately held corporation. It's owned by Utilities, Inc. And they, in turn, apparently are owned by another organization called Corex, who, in turn, apparently is owned by the British Columbia Investment Management Corporation. After doing quite a lot of research online, I have been unable to find any profit or loss statements for any of these companies. So we have no means of being able to judge even whether the rate increases that we have seen in the past are reasonable or whether they are basically gouging the company, but gouging the residents of Fairfield Harbor. So what I have would like to say is that the water and sewer rates have outstripped the inflation in this area and across the country. Last year, you allowed a rate increase of, I believe it was 20% approximately on the water rate, and I was here last year to ask you to refuse to give them that rate. The fact that they're coming back a year later and now asking for 50% on the water rate is totally scandalous. And I would ask you not only to refuse them that rate, but also to roll back the rates to something that is comparable with other communities in the area. I actually submitted a letter to Mr. David Drews, the chief counsel, and in it, on the second page, and this has been submitted, I don't know if the commission has got a copy of that yet, but on the second page there is a graph that shows the water rates. And in comparison to other communities in the area, what the commission is, CWS is asking for is just outrageous. All the local water companies are all pumping from the same aquifer, so it makes no sense that one company can offer a rate of $18 for a basic rate of 4,000 gallons. And CWS is proposing a rate of over $40 for that same 4,000 gallons of water. Their expenses to draw that water out are no larger than any other community in the area. The other thing that I would point out is that Fairfield Harbor has approximately 35 miles of roads. If one equates 35 miles of roads with 35 miles of utility lines, That is far smaller than any of these other communities. Craven County, I couldn't get a road count, but Pamlico County has over 300 miles of road, and yet their rate is still lower than what CWS is proposing. Jones County, which is quite a bit lower than Pamlico County, also has an extensive road system. So there is something very wrong that a company can come in and ask for rates like this. Last year, I had asked the commission to consider mandating that CWS use a rate value that would be based on water consumption and not on excessive fixed costs. It should be in proportion to what we're using. So somebody that is using 10,000 gallons should not be paying only a few dollars more than somebody using 4,000 or 3,000 gallons. They should be paying a lot more for their water. They should be paying 2.5 times the amount. But we're not seeing that. The fixed costs that CWS is charging are excessive, and I hope that you will not only refuse this rate, but you will consider rolling the rate back to something that is more manageable for the people in our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Locke. Let's mark his letter here just to make sure we get
it. I will mark Mr. Locke's statement as Locke Exhibit 1. And we ask that it be admitted in evidence.
No question.
Thank you, Dr. Locke. Thank you.
Mr. Jerry Haywood, Harwood. Would you like to speak? Ms. Diane Viglianis. Forgive my pronunciation.
Show that panel the 500, please, and raise your right hand. You solemnly swear that the testimony about to give in this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, which I
do.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
Diana Viglianese, V-I-G-L-I-A-N-E-S-E.
Thank you. And what is your address?
208 Tree Fern Drive in Moorhead City, Brandywine Bay Subdivision.
Thank you. Please proceed.
We understand that Carolina Water Service wants to increase rates again. One of the reasons noted was an increase in water conservation by your consumers. You want to balance the risk and impact on ratepayers and shareholders of levels of water and wastewater consumption that are either significantly higher or lower than those levels of consumption that were used to set the rates. It appears that because consumers are trying to conserve, we are being punished. Consumers should not be paying any additional costs for Carolina Water Service to expand their market share or help increase their bottom line. This is a problem for Carolina Water Service of North Carolina. In just the last 3 years, from August of 2014 to November of 2017, the residential water base has risen from $5.44 per 1,000 gallons to $7.70. This is a 42% rate increase, and it's egregious. In the same time period, the residential wastewater base charge has risen from $33.02 to $45.97, which is a 40% increase. In addition to these set guidelines, there have been water and system improvement charges ranging from 1 cent to 42 cents that just appear on our bill with no explanation. What specifically are they for? The most distressing part of all of these increases and systems improvement charges is that since 2003, when we moved into our home, there has been no improvement in water quality despite the rationale for raising costs. The tap water is so bad that we cannot use it to even boil water for potatoes, coffee, vegetables. I have to use spring water or purified water. There is bottled water in every one of my bathrooms for our family and friends to use to brush their teeth. The tap water is used strictly for washing clothes, washing dishes, and taking showers. Additionally, the filters on all of our faucets have to be changed at least 3 times a year due to the black residue that clogs them. Our toilets have to be cleaned every 5 days due to the water, and the water pressure at times can be very low. In just the last 5 years, since 8/19/13, there have been 6 rate increases for water and sewer utility service, 3 water and sewer system improvement charges, 1 usage charge increase based on supplier rates, 3 reductions by the North Carolina Utilities Commission to correct various errors. Again, the request to raise rates to balance risk and impact on shareholders of levels of water and wastewater consumptions that vary from those that the Carolina Water Service used to set the rates should be denied. We are constantly being preached to that we should conserve in all aspects of our lives. Carolina Water Service should not punish its users for doing just that. They should concentrate on improving the water quality for its consumers. Thank you.
I have a couple questions, please.
Yes.
You noted some water quality, or what you perceive to be water quality issues.
Yes.
To the extent that you didn't feel safe in drinking the water, is that
yes.
correct? Did you contact the company?
No.
Ever?
I've been told this is how the water quality is in this area. I came from Pennsylvania, so I knew nothing about the area. But when I see all these rate increases occurring and nothing is happening, you know, when you get these phone calls that, you know, it's going to be bad, you got to be careful if you see any brown water to boil the water. I think there has to be something wrong. They have to improve it.
Okay. Did you receive any boil water? Oh, I'm sorry. Have you received any boil water notices? Notices which instructed you to boil the water?
Over the phone. The messages are left, yes.
Okay. About how many times?
Usually if they're flushing in a 2 or 3 day period, then they will tell you, and they repeat the message, usually once a day, just to remind you. But I use purified and spring water for everything in my house, just to be safe.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Jim Brown.
Honest when the testimony about this case is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Could you please state your name, address, and subdivision for the record, please?
My name is Jim Brown. My address is 801 Navidad Bank Court. I live in Fairfield Harbor.
Thank you.
My wife and I have lived in New Bern for a year this month. We came from a larger city. We wanted to live somewhere where it was more rural, and we got that. But the first water bills and sewer bills were a shock. Coming from the metropolitan area that we came from, conserving water was a big issue. When we moved into our house here in New Bern, we put in new washer and dryer, new dishwasher, new shower heads, everything to do that we could to save water. My sewer bill is more than my water bills were at a larger house in the city we moved from. I was just shocked that it didn't seem to matter how much water we use. The sewer bill is just outrageous. So I wanted to make that statement. I don't have the history of the rate increases. I do have a history of putting in a new water filtering system. The people that put it in, water quality was a joke to them. They said, you need our system because otherwise water's not drinkable. The black crud that collects on things, we've experienced that as well. And that's with a new water filter system that has 2 different types of filters on it. So I just think that a rate increase, everybody should make a profit, but I think there should be a lot more transparency in the companies that own and are asking for these rate increases so that we know who's benefiting. Everybody that invests should make a profit. But some profits are outrageous. Thank you.
Thank you. No questions. Ms. Deborah Shannon. Mr. Mike Shannon.
What was the first name you mentioned, Ms. Hall? The first name you mentioned?
Mike Shannon.
So I'm just about to testify about the case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, shall be done.
The truth.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
Yes, my name's Michael Shannon, S-H-A-N-N-O-N. I live at 1033 Barkentine Drive, New Bern, North Carolina, which is in Fairfield Harbor.
Thank you.
I didn't come prepared to say anything and bring a lot of paperwork, but when I got here, I think there's a couple of things I'd like to address, and I haven't heard them addressed. Since I've been here 12 years, there has been a substantial increase and multiple increases or petitions to increase the water and sewage rates. More than I would suspect in any other location that we've lived in from here to California. What concerns me, and we live in a sort of a closed community, but there's a lot of retired people there. The demographics are changing, certainly, but a tremendous number of retired people live there. You're talking about two or three increases in rates. The first thing we hear when we go to a homeowners meeting is that, hey, we're on fixed income. We haven't got two or three increases in our retirement income, but yet we see continued increases in water and sewage rates. So I think that's a consideration. The other thing that I think is important here is knowing the context of the community. The community there consists of a large number of homes, but there's also a large number of undeveloped lots there. I own four lots, one of which has my home on it. None of those lots use water. None of those lots use sewage. But yeah, I pay water and sewage on all of those lots and continue to do that. All the lot owners around there that have the same issue. So not only am I paying a high exorbitant rate just for my water bill, I'm paying it for three other lots as well. So I think that's a consideration that has to be made as well. And I hope that everyone takes into consideration those kinds of factors when they figure this out. One alternative certainly would be to as those lots would become developed, put a surcharge on those lots because they've been sitting there not using water. The new people come in could have the new rates. The people that are retired and on fixed income should not have new rates.
Thank you. I have no questions.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ms. Melissa McLaurin.
I think everyone said pretty much what I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Gail Goodwin.
I was going to say ditto.
Okay.
It's 3-0.
All right. Ms. Ann Simpson.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Don Simpson.
No, thank you.
Okay. Ms. Benny Thompson?
No.
Okay.
Covered.
Ms. Jennifer Guad.
Okay.
All right. Ralph
Tridico.
Would you like to please come forth?
Well, it's not refreshing.
So I was with the testimony about to give this case about the truth, the whole truth about the truth.
I do.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
My name is Ralph Tridico, T-R-I-D as in David, I-C-O. I live at 1100 Kea Court, K-E-A, in Fairfield Harbor.
Thank you.
Been a resident there since 1990.
Thank you.
I've been through many, many rate increases for water and sewer. And I guess What I'd like to say is this. I ran some basic numbers. We have representatives, I assume, from CWS here. I don't know if I can ask them questions or not.
They'll be available after the hearing for you to answer the questions. And if you want to put your questions on the record, we'll try to get them answered, but they can't answer.
Well, let me say this without questioning them, because I don't know what kind of information they would have with them. I ran some quick numbers. Assuming 1,000 meters, which I know we have a lot more in the harbor, there's probably around 1,700, and assuming an average bill of $65 a month. If you run the numbers, that's $780,000 a year from Fairfield Harbor. Now, I know you have some plans to upgrade the sewage lift stations and the pumps and so forth and so on. But boy, you can buy a lot of pump parts for $780,000. And I know you want to make a fair profit. But your last rate increase, 2015, you had an increase. And I don't know if there was one in 16 or not. Maybe not. But it'd be interesting to find out where the money's going. It's a lot of money we're dealing with. That said, the other issue, as many people have stated, the quality of the water in the harbor is disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And it's not gotten any better. I testified before this commission in 2008. I brought in a water filter from my home. Primary filter before the softening system and all was roughly 2 months of usage, 12,000 gallons. Now I'm replacing the filter every month. And I brought another one with me. I just took it out of the system today. That's our water, folks. And that's a hell of a lot of iron. And their test is not going to show that iron because they're testing ferrous iron. They're not testing for ferric. So that's what you're drinking. That's what's in your water. That's why you have the pinkish stains in your toilets and your sinks.
You need to talk to us and not to the audience, please. We're the ones who have to make the decision.
That's what we're dealing with.
We see it.
This bottle here has water in it from the filter housing, and if you like to look at it, you can see the particles. I don't know what they are that are in it. But that's what we have. And it's not good. And that's about all I have to say.
You want to leave your filter and your water sample with us?
Say again?
You want to leave your filter and your water?
Absolutely.
If you let me take a look at that bottle. We'll mark those as Fetico exhibits 1 and 2. This is 1, that is 2.
Exhibit 1, the filter.
Exhibit 1 is the water bottle.
Water bottle.
So we can show that to the other commissioners over here. Questions for Mr. Tredico?
Any questions?
I have a question,
sure.
Mr. Tredico. Have you contacted the company regarding your water quality issues?
The company, after the last hearing I attended, the company came out the next day, as a matter of fact. And they did a great job of, there were some other issues at the time. There were some high water pressure issues, which they addressed by giving me a regulator, which I already had on the system. And they ran some tests as far as iron content was concerned. And as I indicated, they're measuring soluble iron when they run that test. They're not measuring iron in suspension. Two different animals. Ferrous iron, will not be trapped by the filter. This is ferric iron that's here in this filter. That's a known technical issue with filtering. The system is, let me say this, they are supposed to be, okay, I have a fire hydrant in front of my house. is there for flushing only. Okay? Supposedly, the system periodically is going to be flushed. That hydrant hasn't been touched in 9 months. I know that. I put seals on it, tape seals, and they haven't been broken. So, yeah, and the problem is, I'm the last one on the water main. My house is the last one on the water main. So if the system's not flushed, guess where it's all gone?
Your house.
My house. So, you know, and I haven't contacted them since then. You know, there's so much they can do, but they should be doing what routine maintenance requires on the water system. And that's not being done. Okay, we have a sinkhole in our street that's been there for about 18 months. I personally believe it's the sewers leaking, but I didn't dig any holes, so I don't know.
And how long has the sinkhole been there?
At least 12 months. It's gotten deeper. It started out at about 1 inch, and now it's about 6 inches. It's in the asphalt. I have pictures of that, too. But any other questions? You had a question? No questions?
I have no further questions.
Question. Brown Blandwell, behind you, has a question.
Mr. Trico, you seem to have some familiarity with filters and the whole filtration process.
Yes, ma'am.
And you use various filters in your homes, correct?
I have a primary filter before a Connecticut water softening system, and I have a secondary filter after the system, the whole house. Both these filters are whole house. Just in case anything gets through from the primary. They're both 5-micron filters.
They're both what?
5-micron filters.
Thank you.
In your experience, did you learn, is there a difference between filtration for bacteria versus filtration for maybe large sediment? And is that it all come as a factor in what happens in your home?
These filters are designed for, they're typically called sediment filters. They're not purification filters. They are not going to take bacteria out of the water. You need charcoal to do that, or some other acid system or a wash system to do that, to take the bacteria out of the water. Now, we do get a pinkish stain on the fixtures in the house after a week or two where water has settled. Now, that it is iron. I mean, there's no question about that. And as I indicated, this filter is not going to stop that kind of iron. If this was in there, it'd be worse. And there could be bacteria. There is a bacteria that feeds off of iron. I forget the technical name of it. I've been away from that stuff for a while, so.
Has the water quality affected your appliances, or?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have. You know, if I didn't have these filters and a softener, I everything would be cluttered up. We do get a tremendous amount of. Somebody mentioned black, powdery stain. That's mold. That's black powder mold is what that is. And if you let water in a shower, if you take a shower and you let just the water sit there, even with the softener and all, you're gonna get that mold growing eventually. Every once in a while they'll slug the system with chlorine. I haven't seen that happen lately.
So when I said has this issue affected your appliances? Has it cost you money? Has it caused you to have to replace appliances?
Let me put it this way. Been in that house 26 years. I've had 8 hot water heaters. Now, that's a combination of 2 issues. I'm not going to blame it totally on the water quality. There was a real issue with water pressure and water hammers. That has been addressed. And they... Cedar Vance did a good job with that.
Now, your filtration units in your household, can you tell us from whom you get them?
Well, the softener system is Connecticut, which is, I guess today, is a $3,000 system. The filter comes with the Connecticut system, the primary filter. House, they put that in first. In fact, they will not guarantee their system without that primary filter on it because of the water quality coming into the system. And the secondary system filter is the same now. As far as drinking water is concerned, I have a RO system on my drinking water at the sink in the kitchen. And that actually has three filters, or three additional filters on it. It's got the RO membrane, and it's got a charcoal filter and another sediment filter.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Questions on the commission's questions?
No questions.
No, thank you.
Thank you for coming to my.
You're welcome.
Mr. Irving.
Oh, you want that?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Sorry.
Yes. Outstanding.
Thank you. Mr. Irving Jaffe.
Let's turn the Bible, please, and raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony about to give this case, we have truth to hope.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
My name is Irving Jaffe, J-O-F-F-E.
And what is your address and in which subdivision do you live?
1014 Pelican Drive, and that's in New Bern and Fairfield Harbor.
Thank you.
Okay, I mainly wanted to corroborate some other statements that I've heard about the rates of water compared with rates in other areas. I've been here for 5 years in New Bern, Fairfield Harbor. I came here from Long Island, New York, which is, as everyone knows, an extraordinarily expensive, high cost of living area. And my water rates were quarterly about $39 to $40. A quarter. When I came here, a month later, I opened up my water bill and found that I was paying almost that much a month just for the basic water rate, not including the sewer rate. And I want to state this just to basically to shed some suspicion on the rates that are charged here by CWS. And I think it just is a signal that it needs to be looked into very carefully, because believe me, Long Island is a place where a lot of people have their fingers in the till, and things can get very expensive for a lot of reasons. But they were making money, and a basic rate of $39 a quarter seemed to be quite satisfactory. And here, it was almost that much money just for a month. I just think that's somewhat suspicious, and is a good reason to look into the rates, let alone the water quality, which is worse than anything I've ever experienced anywhere I live, and any other aspects of anything else anyone else has brought up. That's basically what I came to say.
Mr. Jaffe, could you elaborate on the water quality that you say is terrible?
Well, yes. When we came, before we established a new filtration system here, and I also have a Connecticut filtration system. By the way, I also state, I have a PhD in chemistry and I've been in the filtration business for 40 years. When we put in a new water softening system, before we put that in, the water coming out of our tap was basically yellow, basically iron oxide and other similar materials coming out of it. The filtration system did take care of it. Connecticut makes a good system. I personally have developed some products for Connecticut, and I trust the company. Now, with adequate filtration, the water is okay. But raw water coming into the house you can tell it's contaminated. It's got particles in it. You can see, you pour the water into a clear glass, look down it, it looks like the water bottle that the gentleman here had shown in his exhibit. The water that I use to water the lawn with, I have one area of my house where I have a sprinkler that accidentally sprays on part of my house. After a couple of months of that, I didn't realize what was going on. The siding, my vinyl siding on the house is totally discolored, and I can't get the color off no matter what I try to clean it off with. We saw it in our washing machine when we before we put the new filtration system into it and everything. You can see it everywhere. But we could clean it up, of course, at our expense. And I never had to do anything like that where I lived, any place I lived before.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question for you, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, sure.
Hold on one second.
Mr. Jaffe.
Yes.
With regard to the system, the water system that served you in Long Island,
mm-hmm.
are you able to do a comparison with regard to the number of people that system served versus the number that the...
No, I really can't. I mean, it's probably a number that could be looked up, but I don't have it.
Would it be logical in your mind that there was a lot more people served by the Long Island system?
Oh, I would imagine so. But then again, I don't know what catchment basin or whatever population is covered by this particular rate increase here. I mean, I know the CWS, operates systems all over the eastern seaboard, so I don't know how to compare. I really just don't know how to answer it.
All right, thank you.
Questions by the commission? Questions on the commission? Questions?
No.
No questions.
Thanks, Mr. Javi. Thank you for coming out.
Mr. John Rothengart?
This gentleman answered my rust questions, and the other person answered the usury rates of the hockey scientist for me, so there's really nothing I can add to those.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Elga Dolphy? Ms. Miko Kaplan? Mr. Miko?
Left hand on the Bible there, please, sir. Raise your right. Solemnly swear the testimony about to give this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, sir.
Now, basically, I have an opinion. So,
could you please state your state and spell your name for the record?
I'm Michael Kaplan, Kaplan.
Okay, and we
live in San Lucia Road in New Bern, Fairfield Harbor.
Thank you.
I have an opinion, so I don't.
Been stated. Sure.
Stop me if I overstate my thinking. The presentations here have been fantastic, and some very nice data put together. And you've all been very respectful. I, on the other hand, am a little upset. About this. I've lived in a dozen states. I've lived in many, many counties, and I find that your pricing is way over the top. And I think you're taking unfair advantage of innocent people that live in this community. We have no recourse because you're a monopoly. You're one water system. We can't go somewhere else. So if there's not a state representative here in the Congress or the governor, I submit that we express our views to our representatives, not only here, but the people that represent us in a higher level. I think I've been told that there will be circulated a petition with a letter submitting to the government of the state of North Carolina, congressional, and the governor, stating that we feel we're being price gouged. And we express that they would look into this on our behalf, because they're our representatives, to see if there's something that they can do to address this issue. So my recommendation to you all.
Now wait a minute, let's talk to the commission here. I understand what you're saying, but you tell us that you think that the customers ought to make that representation to their government, okay?
Well, with all due respect, there's other parts of our government that we can address our concerns. And I'm told that an individual in Fairfield Harbor will be sending out a mailer indicating a yay or nay that you are in an agreement to the price hike or a disagreement, and a brief statement indicating why you disagree, and it will be submitted to our governor and also to our congressional representatives. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Appreciate it.
Mr. John Gumbel.
John Gumbel.
Please spell your name.
107 Boros Landing. It's G-U-M-B-E-L. 107 Boros Landing, and that's in Carolina Pines.
Oh.
First, I'd like to say, thank God I don't live in Fairfield Harbor. Holy smokes. I'm scared to death for you guys. You know, and I won't be stopping for a glass of water next time I come in either. So. Okay. I've got a bachelor's degree in economics from a small West Coast school called UCLA, and I got a master's in natural resources strategy and a second one in defense systems analysis. So I look at this stuff from numbers. That's what I do. So I'm looking at it from the stats. So I'm really a carpetbagger. I am originally from California. I've lived here off and on with the Marine Corps since 1981, but I still consider myself a carpetbagger, which is, for you guys that are from Long Island, you know, I don't know what to tell you. But, okay, so let's look at the numbers a little bit. I moved in my present house when I retired from the Marine Corps in 2005 out there in Carolina Pines. Sewage rate was $33.13 back there in 05. Stayed that way till July of 09. August of 09 through March of 11, 4206. And then, by God, it dropped. I know you're not going to believe that, anybody, but it April of 2011 till April 14, it went down to $40.14, so about a $2 decrease. Then there was a, I hate to use the word illegal, but there was an incorrect rate increase that had to be rolled back. It was clearly incorrect. It jumped up in May of 14 to $56.45. They had to roll it back because they realized they violated their own rules. So in August 14, it rolled back to 44.70, went up just a few cents in April 15 to $45.06. January 16 went up to 52.68, then October of 16, it went up to 52.77. March of 17, up to 52.69. November 17, 56.58, and now we're asking for an increase to 61.65. Okay, so. So in the last 2 years, 16 and 17, there's been four rate increases, four. Okay, so I did the math, and I compared it to the CPI. You know, you can go to the government CPI calculator there on the internet. You know, it's the government statistics. So I just used that, which is easy to use. So I used their inflation factor. So if I inflate the $33.13, not back to 05, but just back to 2009, you know, before it was raised, its net present value is $38.54. That's taking the $33.13 that it was and inflating it to today, and it comes up to $38.54 if you'd follow the consumer price index. However, the 52.69 I'm paying right now represents a 420% of the compounded percent of the increase in CPI. That's 4.2 times what it would be, what the rates of increase would be if they followed the CPI. Now, if we plug this one in there, it's going to be a 613% increase over the CPI, or six times what I would have seen if it had been just with the CPI. And that's the increase portion of it, not the total rate, just the increase portion of that. So why on God's green earth do we need six times the rate of consumer price increase? What have we done with the water system that needs a six times increase? And I don't know if you guys can answer that or not. I don't want to be too facetious about any of this stuff, but, you know, honestly, I haven't seen too many rate increases you guys didn't like. And I would love to see one that you didn't. I really would. And I'd like it to be this one, you know, if you could do that on this one. Because I don't see why we have to go that far above the consumer price index. What have they done? What have they changed? What value have I gotten that I need to pay six times the CPI? Okay. That's all I got. Anybody got any questions for me? Like it here, I stayed here after I got out of the Marine Corps.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
I have no questions.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. You want to leave any of that with us?
No, I actually emailed it to him.
Thank you. We have no other customers.
Are there any other customers that would like to testify tonight?
I think I would like to say something.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Okay, my name is Benny Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N. I live at 909 Jewel Court. That's in Fairfield Harbor. I'm a realtor. I talk to people from all over the country that come here and are making this their home. I hear a lot of these same stories about the rate increases because that's one of the things that I want people to know, what they're getting into. We do have, it seems to be, one of the higher areas that I hear about. Now, I'm from here, and I've paid high rates all my life. So the rates don't scare me. The $50 doesn't scare me. What scares me is the quality of the water or the lack of quality of the water that we have to live with. Going into vacant houses, and there's a lot of vacant houses, people move out, they're transferred out, or whatever reason they leave, and the house sits empty for a while. We see a lot of that in Fairfield Harbor. And I go into these houses, and I turn the water on, and the screens stop up. I'm almost instantly, if the house has been sitting for a while, when you turn the water back on, you'll start changing out filter screens. They stop up. You lose your pressure. I see it in the crusting that happens around the faucets and around any places of water source coming into your house. I see these things. And I've got a house listed right now that's been empty for 440-some days that I've had on the market trying to sell. I was in it about 2 weeks ago. The water faucet wouldn't swivel anymore. It had stuck. And I sat there and worked on it. It's got to be replaced because it just won't even move anymore. And that's the type of thing that I want addressed is some quality. If I'm going to pay it, give me something that I'm willing to pay for, not what we've got now. On my house, I have a lot of people have talked about filters. I have a filter that where it comes into the house before it gets to my Connecticut water softener. I don't think many people out here don't have a water softener on their system. I have a filter after my water softener, a whole house system. I have one faucet that is dedicated where I get my coffee pot water, my cooking water. It's a separate sink. I have two sinks in my kitchen. It's a separate sink. I have a double filter on that. One is charcoal and one is sediment. And then I have a filter on my refrigerator. I'm constantly changing filters. My wife is constantly complaining about the quality of the water and what we've got there. You run your dishes and they come out of the dishwasher spotty. That's my complaint, is the quality of what we have to put up with. And it is. We have to put up with it because we have no other source.
Just to clarify, notwithstanding all the filters you have, you still have water quality problems, the buildup.
Yeah. I have the water softener on there, which is to take care of the hardness. And that's really, I guess, about all that does. the filters I use to try to keep some of the contamination out. We drink bottled water. We do drink the water in our food, in our coffee, but on the most part, you know, we have bottled water in the refrigerator.
Thank you.
Yes.
Do you ever have direct communications with CWS?
No. I used to know some years back, Jerry Underhill, I think it was the, I guess, the manager out there. And he and I were friends, and we talked quite a bit. And he told me there was really just nothing that we could do. They were doing what they did, and for us to have a better quality water, we just needed to put filters on and put the water softener on.
Do you ever get any communications, written or otherwise, that maybe give you instruction or some advice on how to make the situation better?
Not that I've read. No.
Not from CWS.
No, and there might have been. There's so much mail comes through the house, it just, a lot of it just goes away.
And do you have anything that you could say about your knowledge of flushing of the system?
No.
I know
it has been done from time to time. I don't see it done very regularly, so I don't know what the schedule or what the protocol for flushing is on the system.
Can you say when the last time you were aware that it was flushed?
No, I can't begin to know when that would be, because I mean, I don't remember it being flushed.
All right. Thank you.
Wait.
Questions on the commission's questions?
No questions.
No questions.
All right. All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming out. And, appreciate the crowd. We thank you for your patience with us tonight. Have some questions about the justification for the rate increase. You know, we're just in the early stages of this. The public staff is going to audit the requests, make sure that the numbers that are in the request can be justified. And typically, they will make adjustments, and they will come up with their own recommendation as to what, if any, increase there should be. And we're going to have a hearing in Raleigh on October 16th. Where the experts, not the customers, but the experts will come in and present their testimony, and the commission will have to take that and look at it and respond to it as best we can. You can follow all that. You can come to Raleigh if you want to. You can follow that on the web page. All the testimony will be filed, and it's public information. Some of you question whether or not the justification has been submitted thus far. There will be a lot more paper that will be filed in the case. Pro and con, and the commission will have to look at that when it comes in. And if you want to follow that, you're welcome to do so. We do have representatives of the public staff here. We have representatives of the company here. And to the extent that you have rhetorical questions that you want to have those questions answered, if you have other questions that you want to talk to these people about, this is a good time for you to do that. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I did want to say for the record that the company does have personnel here, including Matthew Klein, the company's president. We'll be happy to meet with customers after the hearing and respond to any questions.
Got a question?
Yes, I'd like to know when and where they publish their financial statements.
Can we do this after the hearing?
Yes. Okay. They'll talk to you about that and let you know the answer to that. Yes, sir.
Will there be a transcript of this available?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Transcript of all the hearings are available. Okay. She's taking it down, and she'll have it transcribed, and it'll be available for you to take a look at.
All right, thank you.
And all the other hearings, too. All right, we'll be adjourned. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.